verse 17, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions."
The church in Corinth is, it's got these deep-seated problems, as we've been seeing as we've been going through these chapters, and we're going to see more problems to come. Problems in almost every area you can imagine. And Paul is picking up those problems and dealing with them one by one as we go through, this book. What it's been doing, though, is picking up basically the behaviour of Corinth, the city that they live in. And they've sort of got basically a sort of Christian truth, but surrounding a very pagan behaviour, a pagan heart. It's a bit like one of those sort of chocolates where you get chocolate on the outside and then a sort of gooey, soft, sludgy stuff in the middle. And sometimes you don't realise, you think it's going to be all chocolate, but you break it open and there's something soft in the middle. Well, that's what's going on here. There's Christian words, Christian theology, lots of Christian talk, but actually when you break open these Corinthian Christians, there's this sort of pagan soft centre right in the middle, and it's very distasteful. Now, when it comes to meetings, the meetings that they have, it's very, very clear how awful it is. So look at verse 17 again. It's quite phenomenal. "In the following directives, I have no praise for you," he says. "For your meetings do more harm than good." Your meetings do more harm than good. Now that's a staggering sentence to make. You come together, he says, to celebrate when you come together the great generosity of who God is, like we were seeing this morning, this God of grace. You come together to enjoy the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but your meetings are doing more harm. People are leaving these meetings damaged and abused and hurt. They're not leaving the meeting, as we see later on in the subsequent chapters, being built up and encouraged. They're not changed in your meetings by the love of God and the word of God, but they're broken down by the lack of selfless love that is in your meetings. That's what's going on here. And he picks up on this meeting where they have the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, communion, whatever you want to call it, to illustrate the horror of their meetings and the harm that they're doing in the meetings. Right words, right Christian theology, right things are being said, but right at the centre is good old-fashioned selfishness. And it's awful. It's like a feeding frenzy. Now, it seems to me that the Lord's table is a bit different than we normally do it. And in fact, we're going to do it tonight. It seems to me that the Lord's table here was in the context of a meal. It has to be, because you don't come looking forward to eating a tiny little piece of bread and a little tiny drink. So it's done within the context of a meal. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that tonight and sort of challenge all of our traditions. But we need to relook at how we do the Lord's Supper sometimes. It is done in the context of a meal. There's no doubt about that. But having said that, they're coming utterly selfish, greedily. A bit like those birds in, I think it's Finding Nemo. Do you remember those, have you seen that, those birds, the seagulls? And they see a fish and it's mine, 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 mine. And they're all going up and down, mine, mine, mine. And that's what they do. And they're just mine. There's no sharing. There's no thought of sharing. There's just a hungry gulping going on. It's a complete selfish frenzy. And he's saying that's what your meetings are like. Five ways I want us to have a look at when we take the Lord's Supper. Five things, five ways of looking. And five ways of looking not only at the Lord's Supper, but actually looking at any Christian meeting that we're in. And Paul deals with all of these five ways. The first one is to look back. Look back. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." You're to remember things. When you take the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, you're to look back. You're to remember. Paul is reminding them of what the Lord's Supper is all about and the truths that they say they know. He's reminding them of stuff they know they've been taught. And that's what we're to do when we meet together in any Christian meeting. It makes it a Christian meeting is when we remember. See, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper is a very, very simple help to keep our memory on Jesus. And especially what he's done for us. Him dying on the cross, his blood and his body. We are to remember. We are to remember the most valuable person that the universe has. We're to remember the most valuable person the universe has and what he has done for us in time, space, history. That he died, he shed his blood, he gave his body, he gave his life. And the Lord's Supper should turn our heads back. And we remember what he's done. We're constantly to look back. That is a definition of a Christian meeting. We're constantly to look back to see what Jesus has done for us. The great cost for our salvation should so fill us that the God of the universe gave himself selflessly, should so fill us that that looking back touches us right now in how we treat other people. So our meeting are to be cross-centered as we remember what Jesus has done. Look back. Secondly, look here. Look here now. There's a very interesting thing going on here in chapter 11. In the Lord's Supper, we enjoy the presence of God. Spiritually, by the Holy Spirit, no doubt. symbolically, definitely, in the bread and wine being broken to remind us of what Christ has done. But actually, we enjoy something of the presence of God in the people of God. In the here, in the now. Jesus has brought us into fellowship with other Christians in this new covenant. And when we come together as a church, we eat as the body of Christ, not individuals, but the body of Christ. And there's something about the body of Christ that meets with the head of the body, Christ. You can't do that individually. It's a union thing, a communion thing. And along with that looking here comes this sense of fellowship, which brings this sense of joy. Whenever you get covenantal meals in the Old Testament, you know, celebrating the mighty acts of God for the people of God, if you go back to the Old Testament, when they celebrate the mighty acts of God, they very often do it with a meal. And in that meal, there's a joy that goes out, not just me laughing in my own little individual way, but a joy of fellowship. And that's what goes on. And so you've got this look here now emphasis in this joyous, covenantal celebration, pouring out together. And in doing that, the sense of the Spirit of God amongst us. So look back. Look here. Thirdly, look ahead. Look forward. Look at verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back. We look here at the people around us, but we look ahead. In this Lord's Supper, there is this sort of future element. It's an ordinance that God has given us. It's not a sacrament, that means like a sacrifice. It's not that. It's a command for us to do it. It's an ordinance that we obey. It's a big difference. And in this ordinance, we repeat this. We constantly do it because we constantly need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us and who we are in being sinners saved by grace. We constantly do that until he comes. And each time we do it, we proclaim the death of Christ in the supper, reminding ourselves that not only did he die on the cross, but actually he's coming again. And who's he coming again for? His people, his new creation. He's bringing in this heaven, this new creation where people from every tribe and language and nation will gather together under his rulership in joy together. We proclaim when we take the Lord's Supper that Jesus died, but he's coming again for those same people that he died for. Our meetings are all about looking back, are all about enjoying here. But they're all about looking forward. And notice it says proclaiming. See, if remembering means calling to mind what Christ did on the cross, proclaiming is telling each other what he did on the cross until he comes. We keep on telling each other, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for sinners. We constantly do that as we look forward for his coming. And actually, you know, that's the movement of real worship. That's a real definition of worship you've got here. The preciousness of Christ is sort of impressed upon us in our memory for what he's done. And then that inner memory breaks out in proclaiming his worth for what he's done. That's the movement of worship. Do you see it? Look back, see the preciousness of Christ. It touches my heart and I proclaim. And that's what we should be doing to each other. The delights of God, the wonder of what he's done for us. We declare it to each other as we look forward to that day when we'll see him face to face. He's coming, he's coming. Fourthly, look around. Look around. So look back, look here and now, look ahead, but look around. Verse 27, have a look at this little chunk here. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why so many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. That means died, not because you've been bored in the sermon. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. He says that what's going on here is you need to look around at the people around you. None of this mind stuff, because that's what's going on. It's not all about you. Paul is absolutely laying into them here. Your meetings are doing more harm than good, because during the very thing, the Lord's Supper, the very place where you should be reflecting on the kindness in God giving to you who undeserved, in the very place where you are brought together as a body, you are separating. You are breaking. You are splitting. You are into individualism. You are individualistically, independently, superior, having your own little religious experience, but not worried about the other experiences of anyone else. Poor people clearly are being humiliated as the rich eat first because they think that they deserve it and don't wait for the others. There's this horrible frenzy of greed and selfishness going on in the very place where it should not be going on, where you should be looking around, where you should be caring and concerned and loving and giving to other people. The very place, the very meeting, the place that should be declaring to Corinth that there is an alternative society, one based on grace and love and God's generosity and giving and selflessness. The very Lord's Supper that reminds you of the God that's done that should so possess you that you look around and you care, caring for your brothers and sisters. But that very meeting is what you have turned into a disgrace. Therefore, your meetings do more harm than good. You're not eating the Lord's Supper. You're doing some kind of religious thing, and it's not the Lord's Supper, he says. Some of you are hungry and you can't wait. Well, why don't you eat at home? That's where you do it individually. It's an utter disgrace what you're turning this meeting into. You need to look around. Be selfless. Fifthly, look within. Verse 28 again, look at it. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. If you don't recognize the body of the Lord, what's the body of the Lord? The body of Jesus is the church. There's a lot of nonsense said about this eating unworthily stuff. The way you eat this unworthily is to eat it without thinking about the body of Christ, which is people. This is talking directly to Christians. It's not actually talking to non-Christians. It's saying, Christians, if you are eating this stuff, you need to examine yourself, because if you are not thinking about the body, you're breaking the body of Christ up. You're doing great harm in the very place that should be bringing you together. There's a vital, organic connection between Christ and the people, his body on earth. And to drink and eat this supper in a divided, selfish way is to break the body of Christ up. That is sin. That is sin. And you need to judge yourself. Are you doing this? Are you just, you know, a selfish person? Or are you part of the body of Christ? And are you giving? Because it's sin. And it's such sin that God has done extraordinary miracles in this church. It's interesting because there are miracles in this church that you never hear people talk about when they talk about the miracles. But the miracles in this church are judgment miracles. Some of you have died earlier than you would have. Some have fallen asleep. God has done the miracle of bringing a sickness on someone that wouldn't normally be sick. There is this sickness coming upon some. There is this illness. There are extraordinary works going on that are very unusual in the Corinthian church. And the reason for it is that you are so sinful in your meetings that God can do nothing but this. And what you need is healing. And you need the healing touch of God. And the healing touch of God comes through looking back at the generosity of God in Jesus Christ. It comes looking back to see who he is and what he's done. And looking forward to who he is and what he's coming to. And looking at the here and now and looking around. So, how's your look? Now, we're very grateful in this church because we don't have great big divisions, and there isn't, I'm not having to say to people, we've got to stop these divisions, and we're very grateful, and it's very, very encouraging. But, you know, the reason for reading this stuff is to say to us, let's not have divisions come. Let's not be selfish individuals. Let's not allow that. Let's pray for unity and joy and a sense of the presence of the Spirit of God as he teaches us the Lord Jesus Christ together. These things are very precious, and Satan will want to destroy them. And as we get bigger and as we grow and as more people come amongst us, we must be very careful and protect these things and be praying about these things. So let's keep looking in the right directions, looking around, looking within, looking here, looking back, looking forward. Notice it's all to do with Christ. Looking at Christ in all his wonder and splendor and glory. Well, let's leave it there. Let me pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Phil again. Father, help us to take seriously the preciousness of your body, which is what we are here. And not to be a divisive person. Not to be a selfish person. Just shouting out, mine, mine, mine. But to be givers. As we look at what you have given for us, may we be big with giving. In Jesus' name. Amen.